The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory be to you, Lord Christ. After his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord, our governor and judge, whose mercies cannot be numbered, accept our prayers on behalf of your servant Antonin Scalia, and grant him an entrance into the land of light and joy in the fellowship of your saints. Bless the leaders of our land that we may be a people at peace among ourselves, and a blessing to other nations of the earth. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatreds cease. That our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and peace. And finally, teach our people to rely on your strength and to accept their responsibilities to their fellow citizens, that they may elect trustworthy leaders and make wise decisions for the well-being of our society, that we may serve you faithfully in our generation and honor your holy name. For yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Amen. Will you please be seated? Good morning, and welcome to St. Margaret's. Can you believe it's February? This is really nice. I'm loving this. In his essay on friendship, the writer Cicero wrote, and this is the English translation, "Few are those who wish to be endowed with virtue, rather than to seem so." Few are those who wish to be endowed with virtue, rather than to seem so. In Latin, the words are esse quam videre, to be, rather than to seem to be. Substance over appearance. May we have the strength and the character to actually be virtuous people and not simply to appear to be. I loved the Colbert Report when it was on. Stephen Colbert was the walking embodiment of to seem to be rather than to be. You may have noticed, if you were a fan of his show like I was, that on the fireplace hearth, is his fake fireplace over on the interview set, the Latin words of what I just quoted to you, esse quam videre, were reversed, videre quam esse, to seem to be rather than to be. That was the Colbert way. It's the Hollywood way. Those of us who live in Southern California know we are far more concerned with appearing to be this or that than to actually be the real thing. We construct facades on our buildings, and what's behind them is not what you think. We dress a certain way, and we appear to be a certain way, but underneath, trust me, it is not what you think. Esse quam videre, to be rather than to seem to be. When I was in college, I worked for our school newspaper, and we had an editor there, one of the senior editors. We divided up the beats, and, you know, each person had a certain area of responsibility. And this person was in charge of the student government. She maintained all of our close relationships to the Student Government Association. And what used to just really torque her and get her so upset, and she would pitch these fits in the newsroom that the rest of us just kind of snickered at, she would get so upset because other people who were friends of the student government president, he was a friendly guy, he had a lot of friends, or of other people in the student government administration would draw on that, and they would call up their friend in the student government and ask for a quote on this or that and ask for some insight. And it drove her crazy because she was supposed to be the designated contact. She was the one who was supposed to have these relationships. She was the one who was supposed to be in the know and close to them. And she spent all of her time berating the rest of us about forging those relationships instead of actually forging them herself. She didn't have time to actually work those relationships and develop those friendships and set that trust. But she had all the time in the world to criticize the rest of us for doing it ourselves. To seem to be rather than to be. To get what we think we're entitled to instead of a reflection of who we are. Sally Brown, Charlie Brown's sister, on a Charlie Brown Christmas, you remember, she's really irritated with this Santa Claus character. And she says, all I want is my fair share. All I want is what's coming to me. She wants what she believes she's entitled to. She wants to be perceived as deserving. She doesn't want to do anything to be deserving. My friend, the editor, and poor Sally Brown, and Stephen Colbert, this is all funny when it's just for laughs, but when it's real life, when we seem to be rather than be people of virtue and integrity, the consequences are disastrous. Jesus knows this. Long before Jesus went to Caesarea Philippi and asked Peter, who do people say that I am? Jesus had to figure it out for himself. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. We heard about that a few weeks ago, and the gospel that we just heard of Jesus going out into the desert and being tempted in the desert, that happens right after the baptism. And when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened up, and a voice came from God, and the Spirit descended like a dove, and the voice said, this is my Son, my Beloved. So in a sense, he kind of knows, but that's a lot to take in. And trying to sort out the things that you've been taught, that you're supposed to be, the way you're supposed to be perceived, the way you're supposed to actually be, and figure out who you actually are, and what you're supposed to do about that, this is why the desert experience, this is why it was necessary for Jesus to head out into the desert. I have to tell you that a lot of people these days are worried about the church. They worry about the churches, the fact that it's smaller than it used to be, that fewer people attend church than used to, that there's less money in the church, that there's less going on at the church. And they worry because the church needs to look a certain way. The church needs to be full. It needs to sing a certain way, worship a certain way. It needs to appear to be. What I love about this place is that we are so concerned with being and doing what we're called to be. I don't worry, quite honestly, about the church. I see the same phenomenon that other people see, but what I see is us pouring our energy into being rather than appearing to be. I do worry, honestly, about our country. I worry about our common life. I worry about the promises that we take as the people of God when we're baptized ourselves and we promise to respect the dignity of every human being. And then I watch the way that we behave in our culture. I watch the way that our leaders and our political candidates are calling us to be and to behave. I'm not surprised or bothered that some of our candidates behave badly, but I'm deeply troubled with the fact that that lowers the bar for the whole conversation. I am deeply distressed to hear the crowds at a debate hooting and hollering for the worst possible behavior as if we're watching a cockfight or mud wrestling. It distresses me to imagine that our leaders treat each other with such contempt and such disdain that if this is how they treat the people, and I'm not talking just about Republicans, I'm talking Republicans, Democrats, everybody in our process, that we treat each other so badly. What makes us as the people of this country think that their contempt is reserved for each other and not for us too? It scares me. It scares me because I think that we want to be perceived a certain way, but we don't always have the fortitude to be what we're called to be. Paul wrote in the letter to the Philippians, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, to be rather than to appear to be. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him," Paul says, "and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jennifer Jen writes, "Out in the wilderness with the devil, Jesus risks losing himself, forgetting that everything the devil offers him is his already. All the devil's temptations have the same question at the core: who are you?" It didn't matter that just before the Holy Spirit abruptly blasted him into the wilderness, Jesus had been baptized and identified by a voice from heaven as the Son, the Beloved. It didn't matter that Jesus had a family history that could be traced back through David, Jacob, Noah, Adam, and Adam's Creator, the one God. In these 40 days with the devil, Jesus is alone, out of place, weakened by hunger. But despite appearances, Jesus wasn't completely alone. The story tells us that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The word is near him, on his lips and in his heart. So he remembers, reorients, and retells his story. In a most seductive voice, the devil says, "You are the Son of God, And if you are, make yourself food from this stone. Or better yet, jump off the roof of the temple. After all, he says, mocking the psalm that you and I just sang together, the angels will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against the stone. Jesus recalls God's word and claims his identity with it and stands his ground. But the devil will be back. Luke's gospel doesn't have to tell us that. We know it from our own experience. How many times have we wandered into a spiritual desert, promised ourselves and maybe even God that we were setting ourselves and our lives in order, following the right path, making amends, giving up self-destructive behavior, putting aside bad habits, keeping a good discipline, taking care of ourselves and of others, walking in God's ways, but the devil comes back at a more opportune time. Well, all our efforts at self-perfection fail, as if by design. Our God, you know, is a jealous God and simply will not allow us to go it alone. Instead, St. Paul tells us that we are not perfected in our strength, but in our weakness. Because it's when we lose ourselves entirely, when we're disoriented in the desert, when our spirits are hungry, it's then that God can break through and show us something new. Harold Lewis writes that we all have our wilderness experiences, and if we are honest, we are frightened most not by the wilderness of our own soul, where perhaps the greatest temptations exist. Like Jesus, the greatest temptation we have is to forget who we are, to seem to be rather than to be, to forget who we are and who we have become by virtue of our own baptism into Jesus Christ, to seek Christ in all persons and to love all our neighbors as ourselves, or to make light of our promise and to strive for justice, to strive for justice and peace among all people, respecting the dignity of every human being. What we need is a quality of faith that can carry into the domain of demons so that we can claim it for the Spirit. What we need is a faith that will enable us, again in the words of the baptismal covenant, to renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God. Now we enter the wilderness of Lent once again, wandering but expectant, knowing what's coming but still on edge, anticipating the lonely walk. But we go into the desert with the Spirit in us as Jesus did. And the journey is disorienting. Whenever we make a serious effort to turn toward the source of life, whenever we get dangerously close to God's presence, when we're honest about ourselves, we begin to recognize our weakness and know that we begin all holy journeys by getting lost. The devil finds opportune times and tempts us to forget who we are. God's presence seems so far away. When the devil reminds us of our power to build ourselves up and imagine ourselves as self-sufficient, to cast our eyes away from the starkness of the cross, the real question becomes, who are we? Again, Jennifer Jen writes, now we enter the wilderness of Lent once again, and God's presence may seem beyond our grasp, but the Word of God is near you and me. And today comes nearer still for Caroline as she enters the body of Christ. Lord, we are not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and we will be healed. So I invite you, therefore, in the name of the Lord, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination, penitence, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and by reading and meditating on the Word of God, because the Word of God is near you. the word is given. God gives the word and invites us to be healed today. The devil will wait for a more opportune time, but not today. May the Spirit make us certain of the resurrection and of new life that await us. And may that certainty strip the tempter of his power. Amen.